You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I am a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com. And of course, I am one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Pacers won last night to return to their winning ways. Two games in a row now. Nothing like a four-game homestead to cure all the losing woes. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks 109-96. The score was actually closer at the end of the game than it actually seemed throughout it. The Pacers led by as much as 26 in the second quarter. They had a 20-point lead through most of the third, and they took a 23-point lead going into the fourth quarter. It was a shellacking and a nice performance by basically every Pacer out there. Everybody was a plus on the floor except for Dede Leaf, who was a minus one, but you had plus 10s, plus 8s, plus 9s. It was a really good performance. Domantas Sabonis led the team with a plus 12. He also had a strong night, 8 of 12, continued some of his strengths and destroying bench unit bigs. He just destroyed Thon Maker off the bench most of the night. Sabonis, 17 again. He's had 24, 22, and 17 in his last three games. He had double-double, 17 and 10. Thad Young looked like his old self again, putting up his classic 15-8, playing pretty decent D all night, wasn't getting caught in too many. He was guarding Giannis most of the night, wasn't getting caught looking or watching too much. That was a positive, too. It was nice to see him kind of playing back to his ways. Turner had probably another solid game, 7 of 10. Turner looks like he is kind of finding his offensive rhythm at some point now that Vic is back. He had another solid night. Collison, again, 11. Vic had a kind of an off night for him, but I think it was a good night for him. He was 6 of 11, 15 points, but some of his defensive problems out there, he had 3 steals, but he was deflecting balls over the place. He was basically kind of being more of a taking kind of a step back and letting his ability to be on the floor help everybody else out. And then I kind of thought Bojan struggled again, 4 of 7, only 1 from 3 from 3. His ankle seemed to be bothering him multiple times after he played his first like stretch. He came off the bench and he was either kind of shaking that ankle to keep it warm. It seemed like it was a little stiff. I wonder if he's still struggling there, and that might still be an issue affecting his three-point shot. Doesn't look to be completely healthy, which is a concern, but still a lot of games left, and hopefully they can get him some rest, you know, before they go to their West Coast stand starting Sunday. Other Pacers, you know, tonight, look at TJ Leaf. He played 16 minutes. He had 4 points, 2 of 4. He didn't really do much except he had a pretty nice play where he laid it in over Giannis thanks to a Lance Stephenson behind-the-back pass. Lance also had a solid night, the kind of night you want from Lance, where he only took 5 shots, 6 points, 2 rebounds, but had defensive effort out there and was kind of doing his Lance things where he hyped the team up. And Corey Joseph always having a solid night, 10 points. So the Pacers had 7 players in double figures. That's awesome. That's what they need. They need to be a little more evenly distributed than they've been in the past. You know, with Vic returning, I think the team has kind of settled back into their old ways, it looks like. That's a good sign, because when Vic's on the floor, unlike Lance, Vic creates a whole bunch of space for everybody else because the defender has to respect him from the three-point line, but also respect his ability to get to the rim, and that creates havoc on defenses versus Lance, where teams just don't play D against him because on the three-point line at least, because they don't trust him to make his three-point shot consistently, and then he's kind of a threat going to the rim, but he gets called for offensive fouls more than he probably makes a shot going to the rim sometimes, so that's why just having Vic back, even if he doesn't score 30 points, is just a huge net positive for every other player because he creates this kind of, the defense has to watch him more than Stevenson. But I like the fact that no player on this team shot more than 12 shots. You know, I think part of the reason Vic might have gotten hurt is honestly because they were riding him too much. Leading up to his injury, they were basically relying on him to win every game for them. They were starting, you know, going down big early and then relying on him to lead them back, basically. Some of his minute totals were really jumping way too high. So before his injury, he had been playing 45, 38, 38, 41, 35, 32, and 42 minutes. Then he played 26 in Detroit, where he probably got hurt. That's just too many minutes. You know, I think Vic has got a ton of energy. Clearly, he is, you know, an energizer ball for this team. He is Westbrook light, where he just brings 120% all the time. I mean, you saw that in this Bucks game where he actually drove to the rim when kind of they're up 20 and fell on his shoulder and looked kind of scary for a minute, but seemed fine. But I think his ideal minute total is 33 to 35, just because you don't want to overuse him. You know, I was surprised he returned in this Bucks game. I don't think Nick Mullins should have kept him, on the bench and not brought him back in, because you don't want to, you know, if you can keep him under 30 minutes, you should every night. You know, I understand Pacer fans want him to average 25 points. I'm there with you. Him scoring 25, 30 is cool and being the league leader. But if you're going to win the games, because you just don't want to ride Vic too much, because it's how he gets hurt. You know, I'm a true believer that he can handle the load a little bit, but no player can handle, I mean, maybe except LeBron James can handle a 42-minute load. You know, anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes a game is bad, and it leads to injuries because it leads to guys taking too many risks, especially a guy like Vic who loves to play reckless, and it leads to guys, you know, little tweaks here, and then they play more on it, and it causes them other injuries. And it's better to play guys between 32 and 35 minutes. You know, and if you can get him under 30 one night, you should do that. I think Millen should look for that, which this was the game where he should have done that, but he didn't. Not that big of a deal. Vic still only played 33, so at least he's not playing close to 40, which is a concern. The other player tonight, I was really positive on. I've been positive now for about a week now. If you heard my podcast with Tony on, now it would have been Monday, so it would have been yesterday, actually, Domantas Sabonis. So Sabonis has been incredible in the last three games. He is just destroying bench unit bigs. I think he is slowly playing himself in a competition to be at least the starting power forward next year. I don't know if he's going to be right now, because I think Thad Young still has an important role to him, especially if he plays like he did today, where he put up 15 points and 8 rebounds. That's a solid, you know, that's what you want out of Thad. And if he's playing engaged defense, he's not terrible. He guarded Young. He guarded Giannis decently well. But Sabonis has been incredible. It looks like he's back to that offensive level he was when Turner was out, which is incredible. It might be part of it that he's playing with bench guys, but if he keeps shooting, you know, 10 of 13, 9 of 12, 8 of 12, you have to start playing him more minutes. He only played 24 against the Bucks. McMillan again played Young probably too many minutes, playing him 31. I think you could have gotten him a little less, just because when Alex Sabonis played 27, Young has been dealing with these lingering, nagging injuries throughout all season. I think it's been affecting his play at times. So if you get Sabonis to 30 minutes, who really hasn't been dealing with much injury, I know he was sick and kind of had some other stuff. I know Sabonis have a left wrist right now injury. Maybe that's why he didn't play, but he says not a big deal. The MRI was negative on it. So that's just something to think about. I hope his wrist injury doesn't affect him too bad, because he sounded like it wasn't that big of a deal, is what he said for the game. But who knows with that. So far, though, this was the kind of game I wanted to see out of this team. This was kind of, I talked about it in the podcast on Monday. They need to win this game and come out with a strong start. They completely did that. They went up. They had a first quarter. They scored 37 points, held the Bucks to 16. I mean, Giannis looked off all night. I don't know whether it was something wrong with him or whether it was Thad's defense. I don't think it was Thad's defense, but he looked off. But Turner was playing really engaged in the first quarter. Defense by Turner was awesome. He had a couple times where he either almost blocked Giannis, blocked another guy. He was definitely all over the glass in that first quarter, and that really set the tone for the team, because after that first quarter, they had such a big lead that it was kind of all gravy the rest of the way, where they didn't need to necessarily play like at a peak level, but they could maintain the lead. The bench played fine. Joe Young is looking kind of competent once again. He's not fantastic, but he's definitely looks better than Damian Wilkins out there, and it's good to get him some minutes to give other guys like Collison and Joseph a rest. That's a positive sign from the team going forward. And then TJ Leaf, I think, still needs to be in the Mad Ants, in the D League, G League, whatever it's called now, for a little bit longer, because he still isn't quite big enough to go toe-to-toe with some of the bench players on Milwaukee, even though they have some. I mean, Milwaukee has some pretty small bench guys. Like, Thon Maker is a pretty thin guy, probably only close to the same size as TJ Leaf. But Leaf just needs to be working on his game a little more, which is fine. He's 19. He's super young. There's no concern with him. He still has that offensive touch, I think, around the rim. I mean, he did score a layup over Giannis, which is impressive in itself, because Giannis is blocking everybody. But so overall, this was the perfect game you want to see out of the Pacers. It sets them up to be 500 at the halfway mark, which is fantastic, because that's way above what people thought. The Pacers also look like they've got some core pieces in place. You know, they have maybe a move to make up the trade deadline. Everything seems to kind of flip back in the Pacers' way. After that five-game losing streak, there was concern, is this team going to hit a slump? Are they going to finally hit that, you know, dog days of the NBA season? But they seem to have flipped it around. I think the Vic's injury was huge. I think, you know, I think everybody thought that, but it was good to see it played out, you know, to actually say, okay, Vic's injury was a big deal. He is this good of a player. But like I said, I think it's better if he doesn't, you know, if Vic doesn't score 25 a night sometimes, it's better for the Pacers, because they don't have to ride him on the way. because I think this team can still win a playoff series. They can get up into the 4 seed, 4 or 5 range. I know they might have to play Detroit, but if they could play Milwaukee, that's an opportunity. Right now they are, so they're 2 games back of the 4 seed, 1.5 of the 5 seed, but they get to play Miami, who they're going to play on Wednesday, who they're only 1.5 back of. And the Pacers can get to that 4 or 5 spot, and I think they could win. You know, the Wizards are pretty good, but I don't, you know, they've been struggling all year. Maybe they've kind of found it. They've won 7 of the last 10. I don't know about the Wizards right now, but just if they get to that 4 or 5 game, they have a shot at winning a first round series. I think they don't really have any other shot. I think maybe they could beat Toronto, but who knows there. But definitely, this is a good sign that this team is definitely going to be back and going to be competing for that 5 to 8 range probably for the rest of the season. You know, they might have another little slump, but they got a 4-game homestand to finish up the next 2. They've been dominating Cleveland. It'll be interesting to see how that game goes with IT playing. And then they go on this West Coast swing, but it's not as hard as it used to be because a lot of the West Coast teams they would play are not as good. But they have some back-to-backs. It'll be interesting to watch there. But so far, 2 games into Vic's return, the team looks back to its normal winning ways. They basically dominated the past 2 games, winning by 39 against the Bulls and then being up as much as 26 against the Bucks, which it's like I said, the game was a lot more of a blowout than the score indicated. So we'll see how they do against Miami. They blew out Miami last time they played them. Hopefully they can dominate them again at home. First time they play Miami at home. It'll also be important to beat Miami again because that'll give them a 2-1 lead in the season series. And like I said, with teams like Miami, Milwaukee, Detroit, Washington, Philadelphia, New York, those teams, they want to win this season series in case they get into some tiebreaker situation. But so far, I have nothing to complain about this Pacer team. They looked really, really solid. I enjoyed going to the game. It was awesome. I was sad Giannis didn't play that well, but it was good for the Pacers. And it was, you know, he looked off, Giannis looked off, but the Pacers dominated him most of the night. That's all I got for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Tony and I will be back on Thursday to do a mid-season review, preview of the upcoming weekend games against the Cavs and Suns. Tony will be back tomorrow to preview the Miami game. He might have a guest, he might not, it depends. That's it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, email us at LockedOnPacers@gmail.com, tweet at us, DM us, whatever you want to do. We'd love to hear from our fans about what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, whatever you want. Tell us what to do. You can DM me, or you can tweet at me at FreedomAdam5 and Tony at TEastNBA, and have a great rest of your day.